In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today is the feast of the great martyr, James the Persian. James the great martyr was, as his name suggests, from Persia in the 4th and 5th centuries. And the kings of Persia at this time were exceedingly cruel men. And they forced any Christian that they found worshiping God to instead worship the idols that they worshiped. Now, James was a notable lord in Persia. He was wealthy, knowledgeable, virtuous. He was universally honored and beloved by all. And like his namesake in Egypt, Jacob, James and Jacob are the same, have the same root. Like his namesake in Egypt, Jacob, this James held a high place in the palace, second only to the king, who considered him like a brother. And though this special relationship had an ulterior motive, the king knew that James was a Christian and sought rather than threatening him with torture, to try to bribe and flatter him with high positions and benefits. Now, James resisted these temptations to abandon his God at first. But eventually, he was worn down by the many generous favors of the ruler and agreed to deny Christ and worship the demons, becoming one spirit with the king in his demonic worship.
Are you ready to go back to mom? Okay.
And there's a beautiful phrase in the great lives of the saints that we have for St. James. But do not frown. Hearken and strengthen your heart. Listen to his end to receive exultant exultation and joy that God, who foresees and foreknows, does not overlook, but strengthens the fallen and illuminates the way of the blind. And so, yes, James has denied his Lord, but take heart, God is Lord anyway. News that James had denied Christ reached his mother and his wife, who were also devout Christians. And this news wounded their hearts deeply. And since they were not present to correct him in person, they sent him a letter. And here's the text of the letter that they sent to their son and husband, imploring him to reconsider. They wrote, "It was not proper to your nobility to exchange falsehood for the truth, to defraud the faith for the honor of men and temporary rewards, which pass by as a dream and disperse like smoke." I love the imagery here. Disperses like smoke. "And to love the perishable and temporary kingdom and abandon immortality and eternity. For this violation, you would elect to be cast into the inextinguishable fire and endless torment. You, who are unworthy of his love, denied Christ in order to gain one worm-eaten man. Why would you do such a thing? Oh, the mindlessness! Oh, the mindlessness! What are you able to benefit by them when you go together into torment? We have been greatly distressed by you and pour forth many tears, and with all our hearts we pray to the true God not to desert you, as he is compassionate, but to receive your return. So recognize the mischief that you have created to become a son of darkness instead of light, which you were formerly. Recover and revert again to godliness. And if you do not repent speedily, know this: You no longer have any relation with us, but we wish to be as strangers and foreigners to you, and you will inherit nothing from us so as to be completely separated from our society, because not one particle has the light with the darkness and the faithful with the faithless. So make a good return, whereas you departed badly, but the master whom you denied will receive you with open arms and rejoicing. If you disdain our advice and tears when you reach the divine trial, you will be punished in torments endlessly, and your crying will be in vain. That's pretty harsh. But if I were to go astray, God forbid, if I were to stray from Christ, I would hope that I would have people who loved me like James had his mother and his wife, to intercede for him and to give him a verbal slap in the face to wake him up. Upon reading this letter, James was roused as if from sleep and drunkenness, realizing the treasure of faith which he had abandoned and the evil of error into which he had tumbled. He cried bitterly and repented from his heart of the former things, begging the compassionate master to forgive the iniquity, and he began worshiping God again. Now, there were some pagan idolaters that saw him worshiping God rather than the other idols and let the king know. And infuriated, the king summoned James to question him and find out if this were true. And upon questioning, this time, James boldly and eagerly confessed his faith in Christ. So the king, being a shrewd man, returned to testing him with flattery and promising him gifts, this time along with the threats of punishment and torments, to see if he could get him to waver yet again. But the saint remained steadfast in his faith and his resolve to remain faithful. The blessed James, in order to assure the tyrant of his steadfastness and removing any thought of the opportunity for persuasion, said this. Get ready for some more wonderful imagery. In vain you labor, attempting with feeble means to sow wheat in the muck or to hold back the winds in a net. That's how vainly you labor. In this way, it is not possible any longer to change my belief from piety. So then lay aside all hope, so as not to conceal your wrath anymore. In other words, I know you're going to kill me. Let's not pretend anymore. Cut my body into pieces. Punish it, burn it, do as you will with it. But my soul you will not be able to turn to godlessness. That's bold. The king sought, at this point, the most inhumane and torturous death for St. James that he could find, settling on severing his members one by one, each finger one at a time, then his hands, his feet, his arms, his ankles, his knees, and finally beheading him. Now, certain of his friends came to him and begged him to have pity on himself and to not voluntarily submit to such a terrible and painful death. And the saint said to his friends, "Weep not for me, O wretched ones, but lament for yourselves and your children." Why are they wretched? Because they're trying to convince him to deny Christ again. Weep not for me, O wretched ones, but lament for yourselves and your children, as you will go to eternal damnation with your gods for these temporal pleasures. I for just a day's pain, will inherit the kingdom of my Lord Jesus Christ, and also indescribable joy and everlasting bliss. It kind of set things in perspective a little bit. Just a little bit. Before they began this torturous martyrdom for St. James, the saint asked to make a prayer to the Lord. Give me just 1 minute before you start. And he prayed that God would strengthen him and help him to complete this contest and receive the crown of martyrdom. And after each cut, one finger, two fingers, three fingers, the hands, and so on. With each cut, the torturers attempted to get him to deny Christ again and again. And again and again, after each cut, James praised God and gave thanks to him and asked for strength and steadfastness. After his martyrdom had been completed, several pious Christians waited until the guards fell asleep and quietly carried away his relics so that they could give him a proper burial. Now, this was my abbreviation from the great lives of the saints. And we have in St. James a great example of repentance and God's love and mercy for us, who can fall away so far as to completely deny him and worship demons. And yet God will accept his faithful people back. It's for this reason that we chose St. James, the great martyr from Persia, as the patron saint for our first child. Because he is such a great example of repentance, so that our child and us, and we can remember this great example of repentance. That it's important not just to have faith, but to be faithful, to live your faith. Some people, hopefully nobody here, but some people make the mistake of thinking that it's only the job of the clergy to pray, or to fast, or to minister to those in need. But this couldn't be further from the truth. In our baptism, we are set apart to be holy. As our patron Saint Peter wrote in his first universal epistle, "As he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" Faith is not about being. Faith is about becoming. I'm going to say that again. Faith is not about being, but becoming. Christian is not something that we are, but something that we are constantly pursuing until our last breath. It is a dynamic progression towards the holiness of Christ. And perhaps St. James, like the man that we read in the gospel today, this rich young ruler, considered his life of faith up to that point enough. The man in the gospel said, "All these things I've observed from my youth." Right? He felt justified in how he lived his life. "I've banked enough brownie points with God. I deserve a break. Maybe I don't have to go any further. I'm good right here." Please don't make this mistake. It's crucial that we be diligent until the very end, always making progress towards God, and knowing that when we stumble, when we don't live up to our life in the faith, God in his mercy and in his love for us is ready to receive our sincere repentance so that we might be restored again as heirs of his everlasting kingdom. Through the prayers of St. James, the great martyr, O Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen.